If you would open with me to Exodus chapter 2 this morning. In Exodus 2, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10. Once you find your place in Exodus 2, I want you to back up just one verse to chapter 1, verse 22. I'd like to include that in our reading as well. It sets some context for us. This being Mother's Day, I want to speak to you about Jochebed. If you can spell that, I'll give you 1,000 bonus points. Jochebed's Moses' mother. She is not named in this passage. Chapter 6 tells us that his father was Amram and he married Jochebed. And that's how we know her name. We're going to read about the birth of Moses here this morning. Let's begin chapter 1, verse 22, and we'll read down through chapter 2, verse 10. This is God's word. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, "Every son that is born shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your word. We're grateful for this Old Testament account, the birth of Moses, the actions of his mother and sister. Lord, we pray that you would help us on this Mother's Day to take this example of a good, godly mother who lived by faith and use it in our own lives. Those who are mothers here this morning, help them to mimic this example. For those of us here who are not mothers this morning, help us to live out faith in the same way as we know it's effective for all. We praise you for your word and this time in it. We ask for your blessing upon it now. Just say amen. God always has the right person in the right place and at the right time. And in this text, this can certainly be said of Moses. This is the account of his birth, and later he becomes God's vessel to lead the Hebrews out of bondage here in Egypt. Uniquely, though, Moses himself, penning this account, gives us more details about three others in this story than himself. And today, being Mother's Day, I would like for us to do a character study on Jochebed. We will also encounter Miriam, Moses' sister. We also encounter Pharaoh's daughter. But through Jochebed's story and through this story, we learn so much about our God and how we are to act toward him. So let's begin where we see first in Jochebed's life. We learn that we are to have faith. Verse number 22 of chapter number 1 tells us that Pharaoh, for fear of overpopulation through the Hebrews, had commanded that they could keep babies that were girls, but he forced abortion on the boys. The male children that were born to the Hebrews must be thrown into the river. Then in verses 1 and 2, we begin the account of the life of Moses, and we learn that his father is from the house of Levi, and then he took to wife a daughter of Levi. She bare a son. She saw that he was a goodly child, and so she hid him away for 3 months. She operated by faith. J. Vernon McGee writes, "Faith is not a leap in the dark. God asks us to believe that which is good and solid. God never asks us to do foolish things. Jochebed did a sensible thing. She made a little ark and she put Moses in it." When we talk about faith this morning, I want you to keep that in mind. Sometimes faith does seem like a leap in the dark. Faith does seem like you're entering into the unknown, but your faith has a resting place. Your faith is grounded upon something. It is not hopeless faith. It is not helpless faith. It is based upon the truths of God's Word. If you don't trust God's Word, then don't try to operate in faith. But if you trust God's Word, then you can truly live by faith upon what God has said. I want you to consider with me the place we find this mother in this morning. It's not a typical Mother's Day situation. Jochebed is a slave. She is a Hebrew, which we generally see as a good thing. She's Jewish. She's God's people. But she is in bondage. At this point in their history, the nation of Israel has gone away to Egypt during a time of a famine. Things were good for them initially there, but eventually they became the workforce for the nation of Egypt. And here we find Jochebed as simply a slave. She would be expected to work hard. She would be expected to work long hours. She did not have her own freedom. And she lived under constant fear and anxiety of being beaten or being killed should she offend or go against one of her Egyptian overlords. The conclusion of chapter 1 teaches us about the forced abortions that had come into their time there. Not a very wise thing for them to do, but for the Egyptians, it was the best they could come up with at that time. And so we find this woman, unnamed here. We know her as Jochebed, but she's unnamed here. This woman finds herself not only in these horrible circumstances, but then she is due to deliver a child, a slave, working hard, working long hours, under constant anxiety and fear of being beaten or killed, and now expecting a child. Going to bring a child into that situation, into that world. And should that child not be a female, have to abort the child initially or immediately after it is born. This is where we find Jochebed. And to add insult to injury, the baby is born and it's a boy. You know, we could see this situation and say, boy, how could Jochebed ever have a happy time at all, much less as we're celebrating today here, Happy Mother's Day. Oh, the things that mothers endure for us all. One family decided for Mother's Day they were going to do all of Mom's housework for that day, you know. And about 15 minutes into that, one of the kids said, wow, Mom has a hard job. This is true. We consider just this much of Jochebed's life and we say, man, how could she do this? I can't even imagine just being not being free. I've always been free. I'm an American. It's a wonderful thing to be able to get up every day and to know I'm not bound. There's certainly laws over me and governments and all of the rest. I can't drive the road as fast as I want to if there are cops present. So I have to be careful there. But she is not free. And then to be forced to work. I get to work. I like to work. Sometimes there are times in my life where I was forced to work. Dad would say, son, before I get home from work today, I want that yard mowed. And Dad would get home, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Why is the yard mowed? Oh, I forgot. Well, you remember now. Go mow the yard. I was forced to work, but that's a different situation. She is forced. This is not a good situation. Still, we find her, in spite of her circumstances, operating in faith. Now, when you ask someone for advice in a crisis, and their advice to you is, well, have faith, that doesn't always come across as great advice. Now, it is great advice, but it doesn't initially come across to you, the one in the crisis, as good advice. In fact, when I'm that person asking for the advice, my mentality usually is, yeah, I'm having faith, but I need help. But from Jochebed's example, we find that that is the best help. That is the best way. That is exactly what needed to happen, having faith. By faith, she hid the child 3 months. Now, faith is the initial step. Faith is where it all begins. With faith comes something that we have to have alongside it. And this next thing we learn from Jochebed is to be patient. Verse 3 and 4 teach us about that. And when she could no longer hide him, She took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and pitch, put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done with him. So not only do we need to have faith, but we need to be patient. Hiding a baby away for 3 months will try your patience. Having a baby not in hiding for a week will try your patience. But can you imagine? You are in bondage. You are not allowed to have that baby boy, and you're going to keep him quiet and hidden for 3 months. And I'm not talking about daddy goes off to work and mama stays home and hides the baby. Mama had to go off and do her jobs too. Daddy had to go off and do his job too. I don't know if Miriam was babysitting. So here we have a young girl maybe watching the baby, keeping him quiet. Oh, who was feeding the baby? There was no Enfamil. This is ancient Egypt. Maybe, oh, some of you believe maybe they did have Enfamil and cranes to build those pyramids too, right? This is a unique situation. And we learn about our God and our relationship with God through Jochebed's example, this good, godly mother. She had faith, and even with that faith, she tendered it with patience. She could no longer hide him, so she has to let him go. It's the hardest thing to have faith and be patient, but then you add to that, we've got to let go. It's one thing to say, I'm having faith, I'm being patient, and hiding this baby, but then he gets too big to hide. You know how that goes. A newborn can scream its, we say scream its lungs off, and it's loud and it's a shriek, but you can deal with it. But when they're 3 months old, it's hard to cover that, you know. Do your best, but it gets loud. I'm over 3 months, and I get loud too. It's so hard for her to hide this baby, so she's going to have to let him go. We read in the text that his sister watches out of sight to see what may become of the baby. Can you imagine that moment of anxiety? We've hid him for 3 months. You know what else happens in 3 months? We've become attached. This is my baby now. We're not told what name they gave to him. We're told what name Pharaoh's daughter gave to him, Moses. I imagine they had already given him a name. They had become attached, and now they realize they can't hide him anymore. So for sake of his life, for fear of him being killed, we have to let him go. So they make a little boat. They take some pitch and slime, petroleum. That's a petroleum-rich area, right? And they rub it on the bottom of that thing to kind of make it waterproof, buoyant, and they take it out. The text says the flags. There were reeds there. There's a reedy area in the water and kind of just gave it a spot, you know? Stuck it in. They didn't float it down the river, you know. This wasn't the idea. They stuck it somewhere, and somewhere where Miriam could keep an eye on it, but maybe the public, the general public, couldn't see. Can you imagine the anxiety during that time? I mean, it's a fearful thing, and we've had faith that we can hide this baby. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, that is what is attributed to Amram and Jochebed. By faith, they hid the baby Moses for 3 months. But man, to have the faith and then to add on to that the patience of, okay, we can no longer have this child, so we're gonna put it out. It's out of our hands now. What river do we assume this is? The Nile. What else is in the Nile besides little babies in boats? Yes. I say alligators, but it's crocodiles. Yeah. We're going to put a baby out there. And there's also those mosquitoes with West Nile virus, I guess. Unless that's a new thing. Maybe it is. I don't know. Animals, water, outdoors, no adult supervision, sister watching from afar off. I mean, you come to my house with a newborn, and it's either in my room or in the next room. It's got a, you know, AAA stamped, government approved, promise we won't kill you baby crib, right? It'll dent your car if you run into it. Yeah? Monitors. You know, you can hear, you can see. They vibrate in case I'm not paying attention. Nothing's going to happen. And then I'm still standing in the room watching. Is it breathing? Is it breathing? You know? But they have to take their hands off. Here. We can't hide the baby anymore. So we did the best we can, and now we're putting it out here. And we're just going to have to be patient and see what happens. Can you imagine the moment of anxiety there? Can you imagine the stress? Can you imagine not wanting to be patient there. God, do something now. So many times the situations of life cause us to have to exercise our patience. James writes to the believers living according to God's will. He says to the Hebrews, spread abroad in James chapter number 1. In verse 2, 3, and 4, he says this to them, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Well, that doesn't sound like a joyous time. How can I be happy when things are going bad? But James says, be full of joy, though everything's not going as you hoped that it would. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You see, it's one thing to say have faith, and it's another thing to say I'm going to live by faith and operate by faith, and we are people of faith. And through Jochebed's example, we see that we should be mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers of faith. But then when you realize that the exercising of your faith, James says the trying of your faith, the understanding there is exercising of your faith. Our understanding now is when you actually use your faith, what's going to happen? It's going to try your patience. I don't like that. I just want to be able to exercise my faith and flex my muscles. Anybody in here a bodybuilder? Nobody? I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But I never understood this. So I'm going to go pump all this iron, and I'm going to get naked in front of people, you know, and flex my muscles and let them take my picture so I can win a medal. You do all that work just so people can look at you. I mean, I could see if you're going to do all that work and then go to these like muscle man companies where you show how strong you are, Iron Man or something. I get that to an extent. But the whole do all that work just so you can look just doesn't, I don't get that. Maybe it's not, well, look at me. Of course I don't get it. But that's how I am in the spiritual sense. Lord, don't use my faith. Just let me show my faith. What did James say? The exercising of your faith is going to try your patience. So have faith, but that realize you're going to have to be patient. Now, we need to be careful with our English-only understanding of that word, patient. We're not talking about you're standing in line and you don't get mad at the store, right? Means we don't mind operating in God's timing and not our own. Some pray for healing. Doesn't God ultimately heal the believer? I mean, no matter what, you're going to get a new body. I don't like that timing. I want to be healed now. But either way, you're all right. See, that's patience. Now, I don't have to live that life. And if you're living that life, you might tell me it's different than that. But that's my understanding from Scripture. We want heaven on earth. There'll be no heaven on earth. Heaven's next. This is now. When you have faith, it's going to try your patience. You're going to have to learn to live according to God's time frame. James says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But, he says, let patience have her perfect work. That's hard to do. I don't like to let the dental hygienist have her perfect work in my mouth. It hurts and it annoys me, and they ask me questions and I can't answer because there's stuff in my mouth and it's awkward. It's like, do I push you out and answer that question, or do I keep my mouth open, you know? But in the end, what do I get? I get the clean teeth. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now that's what I want out of life. But it don't start with wanting nothing, does it? How did it start? Count it all joy, brethren. When you fall into divers temptations. I want the end, not the beginning. I want where it ends up, not where it starts. I want to be perfect, but God, help me to have faith and be patient until I am perfect. And all of this, and especially through Jochebed's example, it leads to one final thing. It's have faith and be patient. Trust God. That's the final thing. Trust God. Verse 5. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside when she saw the ark among the flags. She sent to her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, let me stop for just a minute. You can have faith and be patient and kind of leave off the trusting God part a lot of times in your life. I'm not going to do it, but you could read this chapter of the Bible, and you could go to verse 4 where it says they put little baby in a boat and put him out there, and his sister was watching him. And then you could come all the way up to verse number 11. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that Moses was grown, and he began to be God's instrument to be used." And you say, okay, well, it worked out. And that'd be fine, and the story would go okay right there. But these verses in between teach us the importance. They teach us the evidence behind being able to trust God. Notice the account we have here. Verse 6, "And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me. I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. When he could be hid no longer by faith, then faith had to be lived out. In the ultimate showing of faith, Jochebed made this baby a boat and trusted him fully to God. Sent him out in our world. Sent him out on the sea of life, essentially. All that she could do at this point was to leave her hands off of it and wait. It is tough and painful to live out the confidence that he who is for us is greater than all that is against us. We like that saying, but it is tough and painful to live that out. We see what happens in verse number 5. Pharaoh's daughter comes to wash herself. She sees this little ark. Her servant grabs it. And as she's got this thing. And as she pulls the, I don't know if it had a blanket over it, when she realizes what's in here, did you see what happened right at that moment? That little baby cried. One of the deepest theological things I've ever read. One scholar said, the Lord sent an angel down from heaven and said, "Pinch that baby," right at that time. Because you know what happens if you're holding a baby and it looks up to you and it cries out. You have an instant bond. Ladies, men now, we just go, ooh, give that baby to somebody else. But ladies, you instantly say, "I have compassion for this child." And that's what she said. This is one of the Hebrews' children. And she has compassion on him. Now, the law of the land was, this is a Hebrew and he is a male. Cast him in the river. We don't need any more of him in this world. This wasn't planned out as we want it to be. It's not going to lead to the life that we'd like to have, so abort this child. That was the law of the land. But she, the daughter of the Pharaoh, the emperor, the president, the one who instituted the law, had compassion and said, I'm going to keep this baby. That was right. Her daddy was wrong. Miriam steps in just at that moment. Miriam plays the old, "Hey, I know a guy," line here. I love that part. I can just see Miriam. You know, you ever seen a young person with that look on their face like they know something that you don't know or they've figured something out in life? You know, I love that look of just illumination on a young person's face. I can just see Miriam's face here. She's just bubbling like, I can't believe she wants a nurse. This is perfect. Oh, I know what to do here. And Miriam says, "Hey, if you want, I'll go get a Hebrew." She doesn't say, "I'll go get my mama, that's my brother," right? She's got some sense about her. She says, I know a Hebrew lady who could nurse this baby for you. If you want me to go get her, I will." And she says, "Go." Well, that's one of the best things that ever got said in Moses' life, wasn't it? Go. Jochebed's life, at that moment, when Pharaoh's daughter says to Miriam, "Go," Jochebed's life is instantly changed. It's amazing the difference. She goes from being a slave to being a laborer to now she is going to be hired into Pharaoh's house with pay. Now that's a big deal. But let's add a little icing to that cake. What's she going to get paid for? She's going to get paid to mother her own child who she was supposed to throw in the river to die. Wow. You think Jochebed had any trouble at this point trusting God? No, she's all good. Jochebed probably wrote the song right there. There's no need to doubt him now. He'll make a way somehow. Back then, the verse said, you might have to put him in an ark in the middle of the bulrushes, but God will take care of him. There's no need to doubt him now. What a wonderful story. Verse 10 tells us that Pharaoh's daughter names the baby Moses. It tells us that she named him that because, she said, because I drew him out of the water. So the name Moses means something along the lines of drawn out. Well, that's very appropriate because Moses goes on to be the one to draw God's people out of Egypt. But I want you to notice something as we consider names here in this reading. This account doesn't name anybody else. We don't get Pharaoh's daughter's name. We don't get Moses' mother's name. We don't get Moses' sister's name. We don't get Moses' father's name. All of those play a role in this reading, but we don't get any of their names. It's just a woman, a sister. They get titles. Pharaoh's daughter. They are simply players on God's providential stage. They are not the point. God is the point. God's will is the point. God's plan is the point here. Chapter 6 does tell us their names, and we're thankful to be able to have them, to associate their names with them. But let me remind you that though times you may feel very unknown to the God that you serve, though times you may go through life and say, I'm just Mr. Anonymous, well, you are important. No matter how anonymous we may feel, we are part of God's drama of covenant and redemption. And we never know how God may use our obedience and faithfulness for His grand purposes. Consider one final thing with me this morning. What an amazing example Jochebed is here to her young daughter Miriam. Do you think Miriam had any trouble from that point on having faith, being patient, or trusting God? Miriam had probably questioned her mother, Mom, you mean you're going to keep the baby? Miriam, we're going to have faith. I don't know what God may do, but we trust God. We know what's right and we know what's wrong, and we're going to do right before God before we do right before a Pharaoh. This was the example of that mother to her daughter. Mom, you going to put him in the water? Babies can't swim. What about the gators? What if somebody sees him? Miriam, be patient. We trust God. We're having faith. You be patient and you watch what God will do. You look at the example of this godly mother to her daughter as Miriam sits afar off watching that baby, wondering, is he going to cry? Are the crocodiles going to, what's going to happen? Oh, no. There comes Pharaoh's daughter. They're bad guys. They're the ones who want us to throw these babies in the rivers. She'll probably kill him right there on the spot. And she sees Pharaoh's daughter pick him up. And, oh, look at that baby. Somebody get a passy. Miriam says, man, my mama is smarter than I thought. My mother knows a God that I don't know that way. If mama can trust him, I can trust him. What a great example a good godly mother is to her children. Think about this. What a great impact Jochebed's family had on the house of Pharaoh. I mean, they did what was wrong by Egypt, but did what was right by God, and look how it worked out for them. That's got to impact Pharaoh's house a little bit. You say, oh, we can't change this whole world. Jochebed could argue that with you. Well, what a great study for us on Mother's Day. Young parents here today, have faith. This is new. These days are hard. Have faith. Parents of older children, be patient. You've done all that you can do, and you don't have the control that you used to have in their life. Be patient. Parents of adult children, trust God. You raised them on the premise of chaining up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Well, don't you start departing from it either. Trust God. But there's more. You get two for one. We're not in church tonight, so you get two sermons in one. You see, we know that the Bible is not about us. And the Bible's not even about Moses. And the Bible's not about Jochebed. It's about God and it's for God. We can learn so much about him here. He is a God who honors faith. Hebrews 11:23 says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." It's a good verse. It attributes the faith of Moses' parents to his survival. But if we back up in Hebrews chapter 11, we know Hebrews 11, by faith so-and-so, by faith so-and-so, by faith so-and-so. Hebrews 11:6 gives us the premise for Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11:6 says this, "But without faith it is impossible to please him." But with faith, this, with faith, that. We go through the Hebrews 11 just like this. God is a God who honors faith. Moses' parents hid him by faith, and look how God honored that. He gave protection to a baby who otherwise should have been killed. He gave a better situation to a family who were nothing but slaves, but now they're employees being paid in Pharaoh's house. And then in the end, look how God honored Jochebed's faith, Amram's faith. God used Moses' life in an extraordinary way. Moses became the leader for the entire nation of God's people. Wow. The second thing we learn about our God here is that he is a God whose timing is perfect. Through Jochebed's patience, we learn that God's providence is greater than our planning. Let that one sink in. I like to plan. And when I make the plan, I like for things to go according to my timing. I got up this morning and had a flat tire. It's the second flat tire I've had in a month. I think one of y'all are starting to come to my house in the middle of the night and mess with my tires. I don't know what I've done to make you mad, but I'm sorry. Blame it on the Lord. You know what preachers say. I'm just the messenger. Well, my plan got messed up. I like when my plan works on my timing the way I want them to go. But through Jochebed's patience, we learn that God's timing is perfect. Through her patience, we learn that his providence is greater than our plans. God has a plan. And when you start working your own plan, if it's not in line with God's plan, your timing will be off. Then you really got to exercise your patience. But when you submit yourself to God's in control and he's working this thing out, and Paul told us in Romans chapter 8 that he's working it out for my good, then all things just kind of work together. Don't you like it when things work together? When they time out just right, as they should be? We learn that God is a God of perfect timing. So have faith and be patient for God's plan in your life. The third thing we learn and the final thing this morning is that he is a God who can be trusted. If this story cannot prove to you that God can be trusted, then nothing else will prove to you that God can be trusted. This child should have been found and killed in those first 3 months. I do not know. Jochebed needs to write a parenting how-to book. I do not know how she kept that baby quiet for 3 months. What did they do with all the diapers? It hadn't registered yet, has it? Okay. Still hadn't registered for some of you. Some of you hadn't had a baby in the house in a long time. This child should not have survived a makeshift boat in the middle of a Nile River. He should have drowned. He should have been eaten or attacked by an animal. He should have been found by an Egyptian soldier or somebody in control. But none of this happened. Why did Pharaoh's daughter act differently toward this child than she would have any other Hebrew slave? See, all of this went just as God would have it to go. All of the variables tell you it should all go wrong. If you had planned this out, this is not how you would have made this story to be. Oh, but isn't that when God does his best work? He is a God who can be trusted. So have faith, be patient, and trust God. Let's stand and pray.